Welcome, everyone. We are here with part three of our thriller trilogy. Okay, so we're just going to start it off like that.
I didn't know I had the count next to me.
1, 2, 3 movies. This is what happens when you try to do 3 movie reviews in a single weekend, people. Welcome to Video Store Memoirs. As you have guessed, my name is Kevin. With me, as always, is the constantly confused, why did I ever say yes to this, Janice Schumacher. Say hello.
Oh, I know why I said yes. I question it often, but I know why. Hi. Welcome. Yes, this is the 3rd episode in a row of the weird and creepy movies that we watched this weekend in our look back at the past.
Today we are finalizing our trilogy with 1956's The Bad Seed. Miss Jenna, take her away.
So, you may be asking yourself, just as I did when our producer told me we were watching a movie called Bad Seed. Jenna, Kevin, what the hell is The Bad Seed? Well, I'm going to tell you. It's weird. No.
I mean, that's a good synopsis.
It's, as Kevin said, it's from 1956. It's a horror thriller movie. Not really horror thriller.
It's horror for back then.
Yeah, it's horror for 1956. It's labeled drama horror thriller. Our friends at IMDb say, Rhoda Penmark seems like your average sweet 8-year-old girl. After her rival at school dies in a mysterious circumstances at the school picnic, her mother starts to suspect that Rhoda was responsible.
Yeah, that's a good way. We're not even going to entertain right now going through all the ins and outs of this movie. We're just going to get right to the guts of it. Jana, what did you think of this movie?
Honestly, I loved this movie. I was shocked at how much I liked it. I did not think that a pseudo scary movie from 1956 would interest me, but this is not like any movie that I have ever seen that was made in the 50s. This movie is twisted.
I mean, they have a disclaimer on this movie saying we went for something not the norm, basically.
Yeah, it ends at the end of the movie with, like, a note to the moviegoer stating that they realize this movie is different and not what you were expecting. And to please not ruin the end for anybody who hasn't seen it yet. Like, basically, it gave its own spoiler alert. Do not give spoilers of this movie.
Yeah. It's like, we know this movie is going to be, what the hell did I just watch? What was that ending? Please shut up about it. Let other people find out for themselves.
Right. Don't go blabbing the ending to everybody. Let them all enjoy it the same way you did. It's basically...
Future! Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, now we have to beg people not to give us spoilers.
Yeah.
Like, they were doing it on the screen at the theater. Yeah, just... It was not what I was expecting. It was very dark for its time, for the... Rhoda, the 8-year-old, to be this sweet, innocent-looking little girl that is anything but. She is the definition of a sociopath.
I mean, literally, you open up Webster's Dictionary, or the app for those of you who don't know what a dictionary is, and you will see this picture of this girl probably because... She, one minute she's like, oh, I love you so much, and then the next minute... She will bump somebody off and then go, I'm going to go have some ice cream.
Yeah, she has no remorse or no guilt for anything she does.
Nothing.
Doesn't see anything wrong with anything as long as it gets her what she wants. And has apparently been like this since she was 5.
Now, here's the thing. Well, she doesn't have remorse, but she does have some thought about what she does. But it's mainly pertaining to... Oh, now that I've done this, how do I properly cover my tracks?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no guilt or anything.
I have to... I'm watching this movie and I was absolutely flabbergasted by... this young woman, because one minute she's all, you know, it's the typical, if you're watching like My Three Sons or any of those old fashioned TV shows where the little girl is so sweet and makes your teeth hurt. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh God, it's going to be one of those movies. And then the next minute she's got this look in her eyes like, helter skelter.
Right, it's that dark gleam where you can see she's plotting shit behind her eyes, and it's like, oh, this is scary.
You're like, okay, so you're going to stay on that side of the screen, and I'm going to stay safe over here.
And she has all of the adults in her life tricked into thinking she's this sweet and innocent, prim and proper little lady, except for the handyman that works for them, but because he's also a sick fuck, recognizes like.
Yeah, game recognizes game. It's like, you know, you're a mean, nasty girl, and you know how I know? Because I'm a mean, nasty guy. Mm-hmm. I see you right through you, little lady.
They had a very interesting relationship where he tried to call her out and she gave it right back to him. And she's the only one. He's the only one in the whole movie that she's nasty to. But because he's nasty to her and she just gives it right back.
Right.
As an 8-year-old. And then turns around to everyone else and is sweet as pie because they're nice to her.
Yeah. Or at least until she can't get what she wants. As we've come to see from this movie.
Yeah.
We're gotta jump. I know we're not gonna go through the entire movie here, but I gotta talk. The ending, I don't think I like the ending of this movie. And let me tell you why. It was so abrupt and so out there, and then the credits come up, but it doesn't give you a chance to sink in. Oh my God, that was the end of the movie. They immediately go to, oh wait, let's introduce the cast. And they have, you know, this little lighthearted showing all the members of the cast and then a little joking moment between the actress who played the mother and the actress who played the daughter. It totally took away from that stunning ending.
I see. I agree with you on that. And I think the point, though, is that I think they needed that for the 1950s audience, that they couldn't leave them on that stunned what the fuck moment, and so they felt like they had to add some lightheartedness at the end to bring them back. These days, we wouldn't need that kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely not. An ending like that would be like the ending of a episode we watch of a series you watch on Netflix, you know?
Yeah. So let me tell you what he's talking about. Let me bring you up to speed. So
Spoiler.
Yeah, but this movie is from 1956.
I still have to say it. I'm not getting canceled.
Seen it now. then you weren't meant to see it, or you just learned about it, but even still, spoiler's not going to kill you. So, the little girl's a sociopath. She's a murderer, but she does it in ways where she thinks she won't get caught, and nobody really figures it out until this little boy dies, and her mom starts putting all the pieces together, and her mom figures it out. And then it turns out her mom finds out that, although her mom is normal and hasn't had a great life, she was adopted. And her dad is a crime writer and investigator, and he adopted her. He found her from this woman that was also a sociopath and murderer and got away with dozens of murders, or if not more, and then escaped, leaving behind her kids, and he adopted her. And there's this whole talk in the movie speculating about whether, evil is inherent or, you know, if it's of circumstances, like you were born and raised in a bad area.
It's the nature and nurture.
Yeah, you only know bad, or can even the best person with all the right things and be raised perfectly great still be evil or do bad things? And like, she was born from a bad person, but she was raised well and she turned out okay. But then her daughter, like, it skipped a generation and it went to her daughter. And even though her daughter's been raised with nothing but greatness and loving life and family, she's still a sociopath. And so there's this whole, you know, it's a thinker on that piece. But in the end, towards the endish, the mother finally decides that enough is enough. She can't let her daughter get away with this, but she knows what her daughter's doing is wrong, but she can't also let anybody else hurt her daughter. So she gives her daughter sleeping pills, enough to put down a truck, and then she shoots herself. And you think that's the end. But no. You find out that one, not only did she not shoot herself right and she got taken, her neighbors found her, took her to the hospital, they did surgery and she's going to be fine. They also got to the apartment in enough time to get to Rhoda, the daughter, and they had her stomach pumped and she was fine. So they both lived. Okay. So then you're like, well, what the fuck? That wasn't successful. And now she's still alive. But the whole thing that started this movie was this little girl lost a penmanship competition. And the boy who won it, she thought he cheated or it wasn't fair. He didn't deserve it. And they were at this school picnic. And she was trying to get him, make him give it to her. And he wouldn't. And she wanted that damn medal. So she killed him for it. And then she had it. And the mother found it in her treasure box. And when it finally came to a head with her and her mom that this is what happened, and she knows she did it, and she asked her mom what she did with the pin, and that meant she could have it now, right? And the mom's like, no, I took it back to the park and I dumped it in the lake, like it's gone. So while the mom's still in the hospital and dad's asleep, little girl in the middle of the night in the pouring rain and thunder,
lightning storm
sneaks out of the house in her little cute little rain gear. She's got on rain boots, a raincoat, rain hat, all decked out.
She looks like she was, seriously, like if any of you've ever seen like a jar of Morton salt, the little girl on the front of it wearing the boots and the rain slicker and stuff like that. She looks exactly like that, okay?
This little girl, 8 years old, in the middle of the night, gets herself out of bed, gets all dressed up for the rain, walks her ass to that park, to the lake, out onto the pier to try and find the pen that she felt was rightfully hers in a lightning storm. And then when she can't reach down into the water or peer into it, grabs a metal pole.
With a net on it.
With a net on it to see if she can fish it out. And well, let's just say God took care of the rest.
Jesus took the wheel hard.
And said, you know what? Your mom failed. I got her. You're gone. And the whole end of the pier is gone. She's gone, boom, and that's it.
Literally, bang, lightning, nothing left there. All of a sudden, the symbol for Warner Brothers comes up with the end.
Yeah.
No hint, no anything, just, yep, she gone.
That's it. She got what she deserved. This bad seed is gone. And that would have been the perfect place for it to end and the credits to roll, and that's great.
Well, actually, with these kind of movies, you didn't need the credits to roll because they already ran the credits in the front, yeah, like they used to do in these movies.
But, no, like Kevin mentioned, they then did this, now let's meet our cast, and they're back in the apartment and happy, sunny, and they introduce everybody who played all the cast members, and then the last two is the mom and the daughter. And then the mom is like, oh, now you need a spanking, and like puts her over her knee, and the little girl's laughing while the mom happily pretends to spank her. And that's how they ended it. And then with also the request to not give the spoiler to the rest of the possible movie going audiences. Yeah. And I agree with Kevin. That part for me was unneeded, but I understand why in 1956 they probably felt they needed to throw that in.
I mean, I get it, but there could have been something else that they could have done because they purposely, the way they did it, was everyone had smiles and it was like, thank you for coming kind of thing. Thank you for watching the murder of this girl and, you know, who murdered everybody in the movie. And it took away from this dark story. It had very intimate details, like Jana said, about talking about the nature, the discussion between nature and nurture, and sometimes are some people just born bad. And, you know, it just, basically, it, for me, it took the whole feeling of the movie and threw it in the trash.
Yeah, I could see that. I totally get it. It reminded me of the end of a play.
Yes. Well, then it makes perfect sense because this movie is based on a play originally.
Yeah. Well, it was a book and then a play.
And then they made the movie.
I couldn't imagine seeing this as a play in the 50s.
Well, you know something? Think about it. If you see a play like that, how many people went and saw Shakespearean plays? They're not exactly all lighthearted material.
Yeah, but how many of them have a little girl killing people?
I mean, they have little girls committing suicide and shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Not 8-year-olds, so.
Yeah, but still. Young teens. Like, oh, I love him so much, we must die together.
Either way, ending aside, although it was a mind fuck, I enjoyed the movie. I did not think I was going to. I wasn't sure what to expect. But they knew something about cinema back then, man.
I'm sorry. When I looked at the movie poster trying to put together our promo stuff, and I'm seeing the pictures of this little girl, and she just looks, you know, like, it just looks like she's all goofy and dull-eyed. I'm like, okay, I had no idea what they were going to go through for this story, but the story was compelling, especially considering the subject matter for the 1950s.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't honestly think of, I mean, aside from Hitchcock movies, you know, somebody who dives that dark into this kind of subject matter, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely a thinker.
Yeah. I'll give it 3 clamshells, honestly, just because the way, even ending aside, it was an intriguing look into this supposed psyche of a child.
Yeah. I would agree with 3 clamshells. That's a solid score. It's very different.
Yeah, definitely caught me off guard, which usually is not, like, some most of these movies are very predictable of which way they're going to turn and how it's all going to work out, but this, I didn't see it coming at all.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, so check it out. Bad Seed from 1956. Have you seen this movie? Anyone else out there as intrigued by it as we are? Let us know. We're all over social media. We are on Facebook. We are on Instagram. We are on Twitter. We are on TikTok. We are on YouTube. On Facebook and Instagram, we are at Video Store Memoirs. On Twitter, we are at Video Store Mem. And on TikTok and YouTube, we're just Video Store Memoirs. Look us up, give us a like, give us a follow, give us a tweet, retweet, whatever you do on that app, do it. We want to hear from you.
Thank you, as always, to everybody who checks us out on all those social media networks. I appreciate every single one of you. And keep the comments coming. We try to answer stuff. And we definitely want to look out for anything that you want us to review for. So please, keep them coming happily. And with that, we will not be doing a triple feature for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to take a break back to our normal once a week.
Yes.
Because 3 in a row was a lot, but it was fun.
It was fun. Like, if I'm going to do, like, a triple feature, it's definitely not going to be for reviewing purposes. It's just,
yeah.
I feel like watching 3 movies today.
Yeah, yeah. All right, boys and girls. Until next time, I've been Jana.
I've been Kevin.
See you next time.
Enjoy the movies.